smoker.
Each and every show, we like to kick it around with our pals from Talk Radio News. None better than the former congressman from Ohio, Bob Ney. Bob, it's getting kind of wild on the Hill. Once again, it's that familiar thing that we've been seeing play out for years. Will the government shut down or not? What's going to happen with the budget, the Senate? Republican leaders are trying to speed up debate on the stopgap spending bill. But Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz, Republican Tea Party elected senator from Texas, stands in the way. So who wins out, Cruz and his pals or Mitch McConnell and his pals?
Well, he channeled Roosevelt the other day on TV, so he's to the bitter end of the speeches of Normandy. Ted Cruz is finished. Nobody's told Ted yet, Senator Cruz. So, and I mean that because the Republicans, Mitch McConnell and several other Republicans, have given Harry Reid, the Democratic leader, the votes to bring the measure up, which then will be, the provision to defund Obamacare will be pulled out. So really, where does Senator Cruz go from here? But this whole thing has been building up to shut the government down Obamacare. It's done now. The Republicans in the Senate have allowed this process to unfold where it's going to be removed. So then it goes back to the House. So if Cruz is holding anything up, he's probably holding the House up, but at the end of the day, it's going to stop. And I don't think that the Republicans wanted him to take this path. I mean, there's 100 other ways to, skin a cat, as they say, in Washington with Obamacare. But he just proceeded on. And I think they finally realized they had had enough. They couldn't shut the government down over this provision, no matter if people liked Obamacare or not. And there you have it. It's done. And they'll move on to the bigger picture of government shutdown. I think they'll do a temporary resolution to December the 15th is what will happen.
All right, so to December 15th, that makes sense, right? Because do people realize what it means if the government shuts down, and more importantly, if we default on our loans with no debt ceiling talks? I mean, that's kind of risky stuff, isn't it?
Yes, and the second part, Kate, I'm glad you mentioned the debt ceiling, because the second part baffles me, that the debt ceiling vote, that's an issue where the Congress has not passed budgets for, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
And so the debt ceiling simply pays for obligated, whether they're temporary spending measures or whatever, obligated money through the pipeline. So they're actually protesting raising the debt ceiling on something they already voted for in the last couple of years, what that boils down to. So I don't understand how they've mounted that thing into a do or die.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
They've got to watch taking our ratings down. And so I think at the end of the day, they're going to do it. But, punting this towards Christmas will not instill in a lot of people, the ability to get into that Christmas spirit.
Boy, isn't that true, because we keep having the same storylines and debating it and going back and forth. And, I mean, you had to run campaigns, you had to get reelected. When you're out there in middle America, and certainly the people in this audience, really smart people that write letters and are concerned and whatnot, but don't you think they're just tired of the same talk? When we think budget, and we understand how difficult it can be to make these sides come together, but is it just insanity that we can never seem to get together, our political friends on the Hill, when it comes to the budget?
It's gotten worse. I mean, I lived in an era in Congress. I mean, did you ever think you would hear out of somebody's mouth, which I'm about to say, that, wasn't it nice how Gingrich and Clinton cooperated with each other?
Exactly.
When you think about it, they actually did get things done. A little prickly in the process. Now, it's prickly in the process, it machetes out, and nothing gets done. So, and Boehner, of course, is trying to satisfy his constituency. But Ted Cruz really took this to the point of something he had to have known in his mind wasn't going to happen. And he's still going to raise money off of it, from people. But, in the process, it's really becoming ugly now, because he really cannot win this. He's got his own party against him.
All right, so can't win it. It's now just becomes hitting the same wall over and over again. All right, Bob Ney, thank you so much as always for Talk Radio News. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
All right, so Bob, again, making some points about what everybody's talking about. what would happen if once again the government shuts down. For some reason, I feel as though with the votes that Reid has and whatnot, and as it bounces back from the House to the Senate, this gets resolved, and they have a stopgap measure. It's ridiculous that we have to constantly have these stopgap measures, but it is what it is at this point, and I don't believe that it's going to go into October 1st, and we have the government shutting down, and then we're talking about, well, what does that mean to you, and what does that mean to me? It's the same old thing, politics as usual. What's interesting is, if we kick the ball forward, and we look at the other part of this, the no debt ceiling talks that are scheduled, and what that means, the risk that's involved, incredibly dangerous for a couple of different reasons. I mean, this is a heavy game of chicken. So who's going to squawk first? Who's it going to be? What side? If you have a miscalculation, it would be an epic crash. Think of the downgrading, again, that could happen. Credit Suisse estimated that the government would run out of money October 24th. And then you know what that also means? The markets become probably volatile around October 10th. And you could say, well, I'm not some rich fat cat playing the markets. Yes, you are. Because many of you, if you're lucky anyway, you have some kind of a 401k, let's say. Or you have your own Roth IRA. I don't care if you have $20,000 in it, $100,000 in it, whatever. It's your money. You worked hard for it. And you've got stocks involved, unless it's all in cash. If there was a massive crash like we saw in 2008 and previously before that, then you're going to lose a chunk of money that you can't make up, especially when you're near retirement age. So that's important. So the president is just calling on Congress to raise the debt ceiling by mid-October. Then after that, the Treasury is saying it would become difficult for the government to make its payments if that doesn't happen. And there are no talks between the parties on resolving this at all in the works. The president is saying he's not going to mess with this. He's not going to negotiate. He's not going to do this over the debt limit. And he's saying that, let them settle it. The debt ceiling debate is playing out as they're resolving this whole idea of the fight over terms for funding the government, which begins October 1st. So we got a couple of problems that are on the front burners right now. Big time. Big time, that's what's happening. As I look at that date, October 24th, remember that. That's a very, very big date. Congressional Democrats are standing with the president on this idea of, well, we're not going to negotiate over the debt limit. We're not going to do that. You have a couple of people strongly backing the president who are pushing, the initiative to eliminate, forget the eliminating of funding for the new health care law because it's got its setback already because of the minority leader, Mitch McConnell, who said he wouldn't support the strategy of using delaying tactics when the funding legislation comes before the chamber. That was it. He said he wouldn't do that. So that put Ted Cruz out on that limb that we were just talking about. Needless to say, without a doubt, this is, again, interesting time. So the Senate Democrats, Patty Murray from Washington, a lot of you listening to us in Washington, and Max Baucus from Montana, the two Dems, are saying that they're backing the president's strategy. They're trying to unite Democrats and others to not have a clash over this issue one more time. And both of them, by the way, lead the budget and tax writing committees, both Democrats, but they both lead in those positions. So pay attention to the debt ceiling, because I think that's another big part of this. No messy fight like we had in 2011, but it could be very, very ugly in the end. Stay with us. More to come here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Eric Hamburg with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Ever wonder why billionaires like Warren Buffett, John Paulson are dumping their shares of U.S. company stocks? Do they know something we don't? No investor wants to own stocks with falling profit margins and shrinking dividends. Is it possible a 1987-style market crash is coming? Are these investors aware of a massive correction of up to 90%? Call me, Eric Hamburg, at 800-686-2237, extension 120, and find out why gold and silver are the only true safe haven. With event-driven risks, such as volatility in the financial market and conflict in Syria and the Middle East, the sky is the limit for gold and silver. That's Eric Hamburg, 800-686-2237, extension 120, and I'll send you a brochure explaining why gold and silver are the only way to preserve your purchasing power. As a currency's value crumbles and gold being priced in dollars, metals' value will skyrocket. Rocket. Again, that's Eric Hamburg, Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 120.
There is only one detox product that stands out above the rest, Micro Plant Powder, and it's available only at hempusa.org. Micro Plant Powder does wonders by removing toxins from the body. Detoxification is a vital process that's extremely important for restoring your health. Micro Plant Powder is available in 8 different formulations, and we can help you choose the one that's perfect for your lifestyle. Micro Plant Powder is 100% chemical-free, non-GMO, anti-inflammatory, gluten-free, and packaged by hand in BPA-free containers. HempUSA.org wants you to be healthy, and Micro Plant Powder is one of the best ways we know to detoxify your body from head to toe, all for about $10 a month. Take back your life and enjoy living again with Micro Plant Powder. Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Micro Plant Powder. Available only at hempusa.org.
Tonight, coming up the rest of this hour anyway, we've got some odds and ends, things that are happening besides, believe it or not, the budget and whether or not we're going to see that we actually have a government shutdown. My gut tells me we're probably not going to see a government shutdown. It's going to be a carryover situation, and we certainly have seen that before and have seen the effects of that too as well. Where if we go back to the 90s, you can look at how much money was lost because of a longer shutdown. I don't think in the end we'll see a similar thing happen this time around. Coming up on this hour too as well, besides odds and ends, we're going to talk about a couple of things related to what's happening state versus federal, meaning we go back to the same old thing of giant government out of control, here's what happens. But geez, if we look to states' rights and what states are doing and some of the things that are working so well, this is what we need to do. We need to kick it back to the states. Tom Jefferson, after all, was right. Give the states more power and take some of that away from the federal government. Then we don't end up in these situations where we have these ridiculous deficits that we can't possibly dig our way out of. I mean, this is why we keep coming back to the same situation, the same Groundhog Day over and over and over and over again. And the entire show is filled with some great guests if you stick around in the next couple of hours. Some of the people that we're going to be talking to include Jim Jennings, who is part of an organization that has spent time in Somalia on humanitarian missions, and he talks about what it was like in some of those camps. He also talks about what he knows that's happening on the ground, what he knows to be the situation in with Al-Shabaab and how they're trying to recruit in the United States, but just really more to how awful it is in Somalia and how much discontentment has led to problems that just keep growing and growing and growing. And we will bounce back to the government and whether or not it shuts down with Professor Ilya Soman, and he talks about some of the reasons why people aren't as aware as they should be, perhaps, of what's happening with the government. And if more people paid attention, and we also had a smaller government, so he agrees with that whole thing of smaller government, more kicked back to the states, we wouldn't be in this, we wouldn't find ourselves in these situations that we keep coming back to, you know, again and again and again. The other big thing that's going on is what's happening with Iran. This is nothing new. The whole idea of nukes in Iran and what's happening, the power plants there, and who do you believe? And, you know, now things certainly have changed in Iran because changed in one sense. You still have the supreme leader, but you have a new presidency. So if you're paying attention to the UN, and we talked about this at the beginning of the week, there are so many world leaders that are speaking there. It's kind of a who's who. And one of the things that has come out is Iran is prepared to engage in nuclear talks and nuclear weapons. They're saying, this is what the new Iranian president said anyway, Hassan Rouhani, said that the weapons have no place in his country's security. So this was at a speech at the UN General Assembly, saying that he went on to say that Iran would be willing to engage immediately, he said, in time-bound, so they're willing to put the time to this, time-bound and results-oriented talks to build mutual confidence and removal of mutual uncertainties. So specifics, Rouhani's, some of the quotes I could pull out for you, nuclear weapons and other weapons of mass destruction have no place in our security, our defense doctrine, and contradict our fundamental religious and ethical convictions. And he says that sanctions beyond any and all rhetoric cause belligerence, warmongering, and human suffering. So do you believe that we could actually have a relationship with Iran with this new president? I mean, it was very conciliatory. That's what I got of. I listened to the whole thing. That's what I got of what Rouhani was saying, that they didn't want to increase tensions with the United States, and he's listening to the president's speech and hopes that we won't have, you know, pressure from other groups and that we can have a framework to manage differences. That's pretty interesting. Obama and Rouhani weren't shaking hands or high-fiving or doing any of that on the sidelines at the General Assembly, but the thing that's interesting is the specifics that came out of the president's mouth, Iran's president's mouth, because if he's really serious about that, can you imagine? You think of the Iranian supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, who issued a fatwa against the development of nuclear weapons, and Rouhani says, we're reiterating that the Islamic Republic will never develop a nuclear weapon. So here's the thing. To me, you know, these were the bad guys. These are the bad guys. Ahmadinejad. He would be on my top five list, but he's not there. He's not the president any longer. So do you believe it? Can we have a peaceful relationship with Iran? You know, this is what Congressman Ron Paul was screaming about, diplomacy, let them do what they're supposed to do. And, you know, we certainly can have conversations with Iran. That's where we should start. And, of course, that all got swept out the door. But now there's a changing of a guard there, if you believe it. Even Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that those comments are great, but that his country is not going to be fooled by half measures, is what he called them, that provide a smokescreen for Iran's continual pursuit of nuclear weapons. So he's not letting his guard down. He's saying that this is what Iran does, that soothing words and token actions enable it to continue on its path to a bomb. And then this is Netanyahu who says, like North Korea before it, Iran will try to remove the sanctions by offering cosmetic concessions and preserving its ability to rapidly build a nuclear weapon at a time of its choosing. So that was the kickback from Israel. The Secretary of State, John Kerry, is joining his Iranian counterpart, the foreign minister, at a Thursday meeting of the five permanent members of the UN Security Council, so that'll be big, plus Germany, and those talks will surround restarting talks on Iran's nuclear program. I think there's just a tiny crack that's been kicked open here, if you believe it. It's tough for me to say that because I don't want Iran to have any kind of a nuclear weapon. Sorry, I think it'd be disastrous. And I always thought Ahmadinejad was someone you could not trust, that he talked out of both sides of his mouth. So now you have somebody else that's in power, somebody else who sounds persuasive and willing to play, but is it just words? Words that ultimately are not going to lead to timetables and all that kind of stuff? Or is it a whole new day? I mean, is this a whole new day? In the General Assembly on Tuesday, the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon called for the Syrian government, by the way, to fully and quickly honor its obligations under the Chemical Weapons Convention that calls for turning over control of the stockpiles. Because remember, we're still dealing with that, and there hasn't been much on the board because the Syrian civil war is still raging on. And if they're going to have weapons that are dismantled or taken away, there's going to have to be a break in the action. So UN weapons inspectors are going to be back in Syria. In fact, should be back there now on Wednesday to look at least six claims of chemical weapons use in Syria by either the regime or the rebels, and they're going to check it out. So they're back on the ground. Al-Assad hinted at potential trouble for inspectors coming into Syria, saying other countries may order terrorists to attack them. You know, it's interesting. You look at Assad, and he looks like anybody who could be tooling around in a restaurant eating a steak somewhere. He doesn't look like an evil, crazy dictator type of guy. But that's the danger. Who do you trust? It's very easy to sound smooth and to say the right words. I don't trust Assad. Definitely not. I think he absolutely used chemical weapons on his own people. Different story with Iran. What do you think? Can we play nice? Hang with us. Much more to come here on America Tonight.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective alternative and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
Here in America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. As many of you third shifters know, you have weird eating patterns that sometimes lead to that lack of energy. A lot of people also feel very sluggish, whether it's middle of the night because your clock is flipped, or if it's, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you think of people at work. I can remember when I worked like that, being just seemingly exhausted by 3 o'clock, and you just needed some kind of pick me up. Now, lots of people are reaching for like 5-hour energy and all those energy drinks and sugary candies and whatever else. There's got to be a better way to do this. So I thought it'd be fun to lighten the load and get away from some of the stuff that we're talking about for a segment and talk about what we can do to get that energy back with a wellness educator and a fresh food chef. Her name's Suzanne Landry. She joins us now. Hey, Suzanne, how are you? Hey, Suzanne.
Yes, hello.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Were you boosting your energy just then?
I love the way you said it flipped your flop to flip or flipped to flop or something. That was great.
So it is true. I mean, it is true. It's a people I know that are, think they're in good shape, and down the line I've worked in all kinds of, from the East Coast to the West Coast, different time zones. And it is a thing where people, if you work during the day, you see it late in the afternoon, or if your clock is different and you work like a lot of the people listening to us are what you would call third shifters, it's the same thing for them. So what is that? Is it our metabolism? We just run out of gas? What is it?
Well, it could be. I mean, there could be really true good health problems why a person doesn't have the energy throughout the day. But I will tell you my story. In my late 20s, my energy flip-flopped, too. It went up and down like a yo-yo. At 3 o'clock, I absolutely crashed also. By after dinner and cleaned up and everything, I was ready for bed, and I was only in my late 20s. There was nothing wrong with me in terms of my health, except my diet was a standard American diet. It was full of sugar and meat and red potatoes, not enough vegetables, not hardly any fiber, a lot of high glycemic foods. Mm. And so my blood sugar was a yo-yoing all day long, and that's what we tend to do in America. We start off with a sugary breakfast, or we skip breakfast altogether. We have a cup of coffee, maybe, and that jacks us up sort of artificially for a little while, and then our blood sugar starts to crash, so we might snack on something that's a quick energy, which is, it'll bring it back up again like a roller coaster, up and down, up and down. By the time the afternoon rolls around, we're exhausted. We don't have any real energy left. We start our day off with more balanced protein breakfasts. Then we ease into lunch with not that craving, that carbohydrate, got to have something sweet and I got to have it now. We approach lunch with more true hunger for more of a balanced meal, and the day continues like that. But if you find yourself really stuck in the afternoon, and honestly, if you're craving something really sweet in the afternoon at 3 o'clock, it means that lunch wasn't well balanced, because if you had a good quality amount of complex carbohydrates that are high in fiber, protein, and some good quality natural fats found in healthy food, then at 3 o'clock you might be a little hungry, ready for a snack, but it's not that gotta have that sugar kind of craving. That's what we're afraid of, because that's when we make bad choices.
So
we make better choices in the afternoon.
What's a good choice for breakfast? I mean, you know, not to go get the Grand Slam breakfast at Denny's and have 15 pancakes,
yeah,
and scrambled eggs and lots of, I don't know, bacon and sausage. What's the best kind of breakfast that you can have?
I raised 3 boys. They can get away with that. You know, teenage boys have metabolism to power down those kind of breakfasts. Not too many more of us have that kind of metabolism. For some of us, if having a huge breakfast is probably the worst thing we can do. I'm of the body type and the blood type that I am best not having much of a breakfast first thing when I get up. I can get up in the morning, go to the gym, exercise without anything in my stomach until I come back, and about 10:30 I'm ready to eat. So this idea that everybody should have a big hearty breakfast first thing in the morning is crazy. We're all very different, and we have to follow that need. So if we're going to have a breakfast, for me, myself, I might have like a healthy brand flaxseed muffin or something that might put me off for a couple of hours, and then I'm really ready for some protein, some eggs, maybe some smoked salmon is one of my favorite breakfasts on toast, believe it or not. I might have that about 10 through 11. On the other hand, if you're a fast metabolizer and you tend to burn through foods quite quickly, you're the type of person, you wake up and you're lightheaded in the morning if you don't eat, then you're the type of person that will do well with having some kind of breakfast in the morning, but it shouldn't be a refined carbohydrate, sugary donut or some kind of Danish. It should be a serious amount, not a serious amount, but a well-balanced breakfast. Could be light, but it's got to have some protein in it. Doesn't always have to be eggs, but it's got to have some protein in it as well. So everybody's a little different. You got to follow what works for you.
Right.
I can get up and clean my house without any food in my stomach, but not a whole lot of people knew that.
Right, so you have to figure it out. Okay, that makes sense. So snacking, though, what are some good healthy snacks that people should eat instead of going to the vending machine?
There's carbohydrates. High glycemic carbohydrates or your refined carbohydrates, they're the worst snacks to have because they pump your energy up, you pump your blood sugar way up, and then you crash from it, and then you get hungry again, and the cycle again of snacking and snacking throughout the day. Mind you, most snacks are a minimum of 300 to 500 calories. So you add that on top of meals that might be 800 to 1,200 calories or better each, you're powering down 3,000 plus calories a day, and that is far more than what's recommended for women's recommendations, 2,500 men or 2,000. Men are about 3,000. And people can snack on 3,000 calories worth of snacks. So sticking to snacks that are low glycemic, complex carbohydrates, what do I mean by that? That would be a whole grain nuts or whole grain pretzels with, however, some cheese. Don't have a carbohydrate without having some protein. So that would look like maybe cheese and crackers, or it could be cheese and vegetables. It could be something like hummus. We love hummus here on the West Coast, with some vegetables or some whole grain crackers. Believe it or not, popcorn is actually good for us in the sense that it is not a high glycemic if we're having it with another kind of protein snack. Popcorn is a whole kernel corn that's popped. Of course, air popped. I'm not talking about movie corn that tends to have a lot more fat and salt than it we need. Nuts are a great snack to have. Nuts and nut mixes, so you have a little bit of sweet fruit, dried fruit in the nut mixes are wonderful too. Low glycemic fruits like the berry family. Most fruits are moderate to low glycemic, meaning they don't pump the blood sugar up too high. The tropical, semi-tropical fruits tend to be higher in sugar. So your bananas and pineapples, things like that, are higher in sugar. Protein shakes are fantastic to have in the afternoon. And you can bring a little Ziploc bag of a scoop of the protein powder and make it up right at your desk at work. And that'll put you off for a couple of hours and yet give you the protein and some carbohydrates to satisfy your energy for a little bit. Believe it or not, a boiled egg. Why not a boiled egg? Keep it in the cooler someplace. Just one boiled egg with maybe a couple of pieces of vegetables or something is enough to keep you stable. It's making a decision. I think more than anything, it's making a conscious decision of, no, I'm not going to eat this chocolate bar. Even though I would like to, because that's going to set me up for more things. But yes, I'll have maybe a little chocolate square after dinner as my dessert. But having it a snack when your blood sugar is low will only jump your blood sugar back up again and then crash it up again. You want to avoid the roller coaster because that's what exhausts us by the end of the day.
All right, that's great advice. Avoid the roller coaster. Suzanne Landry, the book is called The Passionate Vegetable. Hey, we got like 30 seconds left. What's your favorite vegetable?
Oh, gosh, I'm a chef. Everybody asks me what my favorite dish is, my favorite recipes. You know what? I don't have one.
You don't have one.
I'll tell you what I don't like. I don't like okra.
Oh, you know, everybody in the South just tuned right out.
I know. They hung up. That's it.
That's good. No okra. No okra. I like it. So, again, the book is The Passionate Vegetable. Suzanne, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
All right. You have a good one. It's funny, you know, vegetables, because kids especially are so, I mean, it's maybe just when you're raised that way, they're so anti-vegetable, but now people are finding clever ways to get vegetables in, as Suzanne mentioned there, hummus and that kind of stuff, or just throwing it in a blender and mixing it up. You know, we've had Ben Fuchs on the show a lot, and he's certainly given some great tips about things that you can put oil on, and you can make crunchy Brussels sprouts, and they do taste really good. There definitely is alternatives. I know some of you guys are sitting out there right now. Are you eating some chips? Did you just go run to the vending machine and you've got some red vines? Vending machines are like the devil's handiwork. Because you start pumping the vending machine and then you want something else. So even if you get corn chips, you're on to that Snickers bar or whatever else it is. I really find that once you hit the machine once, you're probably hitting it up a couple times a day. All right, that was fun. Coming up, the blunder of the week and some odds and ends. Hang with us.
Hello, I'm Steve Shank. Everybody's heard the statement that what you don't know can't hurt you. But truth is, what you don't know is the only thing that can hurt you. For example, you might not know how our country's wars can hurt you. Japanese radiation and the Gulf oil spill are destroying your seafood. People don't understand how America's 50-year worst drought is hurting them. Our natural disaster experience has proven relief organizations can't take care of the victims. And there's the huge question of how the government will feed all the people that it's promised to feed with no food. What if we made the whole country into one big neighborhood where we take care of each other by taking care of ourselves? Here's the plan. For every new EPACH 60-day food supply that you order, eFoods Direct will send a 7-day food supply to each of two families in your name, free of charge. Go to eFoodsDirect.com or call 800-876-0871. 800-876-0871. eFoodsDirect.com.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
You are now in the crosshairs. The NSA and the FBI are treating you like a criminal and monitoring your every move. Ron Paul said recently, "The evidence of the totalitarian nature of this government is on display undeniably every day. What's taking place right now is a coup and the destruction of the Constitution. Fortunately, there is something you can do about it. Learn how to be invisible, lock down your privacy, and even disappear forever. Go to privacylockdown.com to learn how. That's privacylockdown.com.
It's National Preparedness Month, and ReadyMadeResources.com is proud to announce an unprecedented sale. For a very limited time, you can save 45 to 70% on all Mountain House cans and case lots. Best of all, you can mix and match, and all orders include free shipping. Visit ReadyMadeResources.com and save 45 to 70% while supplies last. Hurry, this sale ends September 30th. Call 800-627-3809. 800-627-3809. ReadyMadeResources.com. Get the best for less.
This hour of America Tonight, and I gotta love this. Jackson sends this in from Mississippi. No joke, there is a Jackson, Mississippi, but this is Jackson in Mississippi. And Jackson says the blunder of the week should be the military posting down on people who get tattoos on their arms. How many soldiers do you think, Kate, have tattoos? Yeah, I'm gonna say 88%. I don't know if I were just plucking a number out of the sky. A lot. Thinking in my own family, the people who served, only my grandfather didn't have tattoos. One of my uncles didn't have tattoos. My cousin did. My husband doesn't have tattoos, but everybody else in my family, the other five or six, all have at least a tattoo. But now, tattoos, I mean, it's just part of the culture where you have a sleeve, your back, the whole thing. So be interesting to see the whole enforcement thing of that. But that is not the blunder of the week. The blunder of the week. And by the way, you can always throw in your 2 cents. You may have your own blunder of the week. Let me throw out the digits. 855-266-5283. 855-266-KATE. The blunder of the week to me is when it's marketing promotion kind of thing that blows up. And this is one that shouldn't have blown up. It's the Yankees. They have, you know, you go to a ballpark and they give out T-shirts or calendars or bats or bobbleheads. And bobbleheads are still very popular. Mariano Rivera is done. This is it. This is the tail end of his season. So it was bobblehead night at Yankee Stadium on Tuesday, the third to last home game. And that's it for him, right? So all these people, and it's New York, rushed to get to the park as soon as they can. The first 18,000 fans were supposed to get bobbleheads, right? So they did whatever they had to do, took a million trains or whatever it is, whatever the George Washington Bridge. Because, you know, this is going to be a big deal because it's the farewell tour of Rivera. The bobbleheads didn't arrive in time, so thousands of people were pushed through the ballpark gates empty-handed. They had to line up, and when they lined up, they didn't get the bobbleheads. Instead, they got kind of an IOU, a voucher to pick up a bobblehead once they were there. So it became a nightmare because it was like a zoo. People are like screaming, yelling, wanting their doll. I want my doll. I want my voucher. It was like pandemonium, they said. And when the delivery truck carrying the dolls broke down in New Jersey, it was a disaster. So, it would have been better to have them in house a little bit sooner rather than later. Rather than the day the bobblehead promotion was happening. Matt, that's what you call a blunder big enough to ditch the head of your marketing department or some little plebe underneath them, because somebody is going to answer for that.
And also, with that, I did see a couple tweets from members of the press that saw Yankees executives handing out the bobbleheads to the people in, I don't know what it's called, like the Legends Club or the luxury seats, whatever it is. So if you paid enough money for your seats, apparently you got a bobblehead.
Oh, that's brutal. So, yeah, if you're a rich dude showing up or a celebrity or whoever, and you have enough juice that you're in the Legends suite, you'll get yours. But everybody else, sorry, you're going to have to wait. That's a screw up. That's a blunder. Because of what it takes to get to the ballpark. Ushering kids and jobs and getting out and all that kind of stuff. So, duh, Yankees. Especially when Rivera, who played with the team forever and a day, and for sure will be in the Hall of Fame, this is it for him. This is his farewell. So that promotion becomes even that much bigger. Even that much bigger. So as we are making that final turn, I said we were going to pepper in some odds and ends. I can't not bring up Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas, who is standing up against the whole Obamacare thing with the vote looming. It's a already slim to none chance that we're going to see the government shut down. But Ted Cruz is going against the grain with the other senators, and he's saying, you know, this is a way to ditch funding Obamacare and save money. It's very much like what Senator Rand Paul did in a different way with the filibuster to voice his concerns over drones. And actually that worked out well for Paul, because the next day he got the answer he wanted that he wasn't getting from the attorney general. So it's not technically a filibuster like Paul's, because he couldn't stop the Senate from holding a test vote on a Wednesday. That's going to happen. But Democrats say that vote is happening no matter what. But his position is he supported a House bill that both funds the government past September 30th and defunds Obamacare. And he's urging other senators to block the bill in the Senate out of concern that the Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid will add an amendment stripping out the Obamacare provision. So this saga, which we were talking about, if you happen to hear it with Bob Ney at the top of the show, isn't over, but it truly is over for Cruz, because the votes aren't there. And it's not going to get stalled. It doesn't look like it's going to get stalled anyway. So it's just going to move forward. And Mitch McConnell, who's on the opposite side of this, says, you know, we're going to have to, we'd be hard-pressed to explain why we were opposed to a bill we were in favor of. And then invoke cloture and that defunds Obamacare, doesn't raise taxes, and respects the Budget Control Act. He says it's absolutely a no-brainer. Senator Orrin Hatch said Republicans would be blamed for a shutdown in part because of, he says, media bias against Republicans. And how many of you listening think there is? I mean, it doesn't even matter if you're a Democrat and independent. Do you think that there is? This is a debate we cannot really have in 5 minutes. But is there a huge bias against the Republican Party? Does it feel like the pendulum is swung and it is a bias and you see it in media coverage? To which I would say, here's the thing. It's what you're looking for. There's centrists, there's right, and there's left. And you can look at various websites and look at the same story, and you'll get all three of those points of view in different publications. So it depends. Depends on what medium you're talking about. It depends on what reporters you're talking about. And so, sure, some have bias, but I wouldn't say and blanket the industry as saying everything is biased. But bottom line is this, despite what Hatch says it doesn't matter, is if Senator Reid musters the votes to strip the Obamacare language, he'd likely have to clear one more 60-vote hurdle before passing the bill and sending it back to the House. If the House then tries to change the Senate bill, they could easily miss the end-of-the-month deadline because we're almost on top of that right now. They're changing the budget bill so it only lasts through November 15th as opposed to December 15th because, remember, Bob Ney was talking about December 15th. It's November 15th, and it would guarantee, however, another showdown on this nonsense in November. So there's your odds and ends. What, passing something that virtually guarantees that you'll be right back in the same position on the 15th or before the 15th, because nothing is going to happen in between that. You know it. Nothing will happen. There's no reason that they'll tackle that. There's absolutely zero reason, because they know they're not going to come up with the solution. So it's a bad beat to begin with. It's better to just roll it out. That's what I would say. Just roll it out and that's it. That's how you deal with it. By the way, a lot of you also sent me some emails about your Apple iPhones. I get the message. I need to be 4G at least. I'm too old school for all of you saying I'm 3G. You know why? I'm used to the phone. I hate the idea of reprogramming. I know it's easy. I hate the idea of learning something new. And everybody I know that's upgraded has had problems with their phones, man. I can't deal with that. Hey, thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
Day. More and more people are feeling better than they've felt in years by going gluten-free. Now it's your chance to learn how it can change your life. The third annual Gluten-Free Living Now Expo comes to the Fountains in Carmel, Indiana, Saturday, October 5th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Discover the world of gluten-free living with 100 vendors showcasing and selling the latest gluten-free products. Get vital information with lectures on celiac disease, gluten sensitivity, and the gluten-free diet. And with the gluten-free cooking and baking demos, you'll learn gluten-free can still be delicious. There's a kids' corner sponsored by Shaw, and there's even a gluten-free beer and alcohol garden. The Gluten-Free Living Now Expo. It's everything you need to know about being gluten-free. Saturday, October 5th at the Fountains in Carmel, Indiana. Admission is free for kids 12 and under, and just $10 for adults. For more, visit glutenfreelivingnow.org and follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Sponsored by Kroger, Nature's Farm, Glutino, Udi's, Living Without Magazine, and Youngevity.